Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is 6:34. This is 1320 WILS, and I'm Michael Cohen. Thanks for joining us. The Supreme Court today hearing arguments about the controversial Arizona illegal immigration law that requires police officers to ask for proof of citizenship of lawbreakers is at the heart of the debate about how border states like Arizona should approach their growing problem of illegal immigration. To talk about the case and what the repercussions of a Supreme Court ruling may be, I'm joined by David Thronson, law professor at Michigan State University College of Law. David, thanks for joining us this evening.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So some reports today are indicating that the justices are not buying the Obama administration's argument that the state exceeded its authority. Chief Justice John Roberts at one point saying he doesn't think the federal government even wants to know how many illegal immigrants are in the country. What is your view on Arizona's right to impose this law?
Well, I think, you know, I'll back up a little bit on that and say there were four provisions at stake today. And these provisions were challenged by the federal government on grounds of preemption, that the federal government had exclusive authority to work in these fields. So as Chief Justice Roberts pointed out in his very first question to our Solicitor General, he pointed out, he said that, you know, we have no allegations of racial profiling, no allegations of discrimination before us today. And that's absolutely right, because the case that was before the court today involves a preliminary injunction which blocked the implementation of the law on grounds of federal preemption, saying that it's the federal government's rule to do this. So whatever ruling we get out of this will be relatively narrow, and this is the first of many rounds, because the other challenges to the law on grounds of racial profiling, on grounds of discrimination, are working their way through the courts separately and distinctly.
Well, so, you know, Arizona lawmakers are saying that the federal government is really doing nothing about this issue, and it's essentially forcing their hand to take action. Does that give them some leeway to move ahead with a law like this?
I think, you know, they definitely got traction with the justices today and in general with the idea that what they're doing is aligned with what they could do under federal law anyway. I think they're, you know, factually inaccurate to say the federal government's doing nothing. We have actually ramped up our border enforcement extensively. We deported a record number of people, nearly 400,000 people in the last year. So it's not so much a lack of effort, but the idea that, you know, Arizona, because of its geography and because of its population, is disproportionately impacted by immigration, and they want to force the federal government to, you know, bring their resources to bear in Arizona, and they want to be able to assist the government in enforcing immigration law. And that's how they characterize it, that they're seeking to, you know, bring more resources to the federal priorities we have for immigration. The federal government, you know, of course, responds that they're skewing priorities, and they're forcing the federal government to move off its enforcement priorities and respond to the Arizona law.
So from what the Supreme Court is now looking at, could they very well rule that this is legal to do and Arizona could potentially move ahead and institute this law?
I believe there's a real distinct possibility that at least one portion of the law, that the provision about requiring law enforcement officers to verify the immigration status of people they stop and detain, you know, the justices were very open to that idea. I think there was pushback, notably from Justice Kennedy, who's often in the middle on these issues, regarding, is this going to result in, you know, detention that wouldn't otherwise take place? Will it be prolonged detention? There'll be concerns about how this law is implemented. But I'm thinking that many of those types of concerns will need to be raised later as the law, if the law is permitted to go ahead. Mm-hmm. As the law is implemented, people can challenge how it's implemented, and I think that may be what happens.
I'm talking to David Thronson, law professor at Michigan State University College of Law. Is there anything really wrong, David, any legal issue at all with an Arizona police officer asking for proof of citizenship at a traffic stop?
There is not, you know, essentially is the position that, you know, that even the federal government takes in many instances, that, you know, they have, and this is where the justices seem to really, you know, push, was to say this is something they can do anyway. What's different here is that they're doing it systemically, and they'll be doing it in large numbers, and it won't be something that's done occasionally or something that's done at the extreme. It'll be done in many cases, and we'll shift the way resources are allocated to be responsive if this is permitted to go forward.
But at that point, though, even once that's done, the federal government would then be quickly involved in dealing with the deportation issues after that, would they not?
They would if one of the difficulties with this law is that question of, is someone undocumented, do they have legal permission to remain or not, is a gray one in some instances. There are certainly many, many cases where that's a clear call and something that can be determined, but not necessarily something that can be determined by checking the database, not something that can be maintained, accurately and currently on a database. So there are concerns that there are issues, particularly U.S. citizens. There is no database of who is a U.S. citizen. There's a database of naturalized U.S. citizens, which may have errors in it. But if you were born in this country and, you're detained under suspicion of not being here legally, there is no database to check that will say, no, you were born in this place, you are a citizen, by nature of your birth.
When you look at this kind of an issue, what do you see as a potential solution? It seems like the two sides of the debate are one that illegal immigrants should be identified as quickly as possible, and they should be removed from the country. The other is there should be a structure for them to remain in the country legally in some way. How do you see the issue coming down?
Well, I think you've very accurately characterized two sides on this, and I think one of the things we have to do is find that middle ground, and politically that's very hard to do, and in an election year that's likely impossible to do. To think about ways that we can reform our immigration laws. The one point of agreement across this debate is that our immigration laws are not particularly good. People want to change them in different ways and in different directions, but nobody's particularly happy with what we do. And one of the difficulties is we've created a system where we've made so many roadblocks for people who in the past would have legalized their status, but they cannot. So they, remain in unlawful status. We have approximately one-third of the undocumented population in the United States has a U.S. citizen child or more.
Do you think there should be special cases, though, for states like Arizona that are bearing the brunt of the burden of this issue as compared to us here in Michigan where we really don't see a huge problem with illegal immigrants?
No, I do think we do need to speak as one nation on immigration law. I think that has been, our the status of the law and the way we have approached things since, the 1800s. And I do think that it's problematic if we have a patchwork of immigration laws as you move across states. One of the problems is, if Arizona can do what they do, then Alabama may be able to do some of the things they can do. And then maybe, the locality of Hazleton, Pennsylvania, where they've had immigration issues, can do what they do. And you become almost community to community in a different situation as to whether or not you're able to live and proceed, and that becomes a very difficult patchwork.
What about those that make a simple argument that these are folks that are breaking the law, they are illegal immigrants, and that needs to be addressed simply on its face, that this is an issue for law enforcement to handle?
I think in some instances that, the simplicity of that argument certainly has appeal to say, what part of illegal don't you understand, as the mantra goes. One of the difficulties with that is there's a lot of, what part of legal don't people understand? We have an incredibly complex immigration system, which often involves people spending extended periods out of status in efforts to achieve a lawful status. There's a big gap, and Justice Scalia got to this a little bit with his questioning, between someone who currently has lawful immigration status and someone who ultimately will be deported. There may be people seeking asylum, people who are eligible for various forms of relief from removal or come from countries where we've granted temporary protective status because of natural disasters, who lack documentation, yet they are clearly explicitly not enforcement priorities, yet they would be in violation of various aspects of the Arizona law because they lack a current document that they could show a law enforcement officer which would say, I'm legally authorized to stay. And those are the kind of cases where I think the law has its most problematic, aspects.
So the Supreme Court set to rule by, I think, the end of June. If they rule in favor of Arizona, this could essentially then set up a situation where not only Arizona but other states begin to take action and require police officers to ask for citizenship confirmation?
It would. It will also shift the focus back to other cases that are pending that raise some of the arguments that were before the court today about racial profiling and prospects of discrimination, and those cases will then take the forefront as that goes forward. There are also other aspects of the law that weren't before the court today. And then as we look at states that have, you know, been inspired a bit by Arizona, Alabama in particular, has gone further with the types of things it's prohibited based on immigration status, which raise different and unique sorts of arguments that, again, will be before the court. So this is a step in a long, long road.
And although we certainly haven't seen anything here in Michigan on that level.
We have not, and you know, I think our governor has been a strong voice for saying this is not a debate that, you know, we need to launch into. The tone he has set around immigration has been one of you know, honoring contributions of immigrants and wanting to be a welcoming place for immigrants. He's of course talking about lawful immigrants. He's talking about people who are, you know, mostly in an employment-based context, but I think he recognizes, as many states, Mississippi just beat back an effort in their legislature to impose an Arizona-style law, that the tone that this sets for immigrant communities and the tone that this sets for portraying the state as a place that's open for international business is problematic.
Well, we'll certainly see where we go from here as we wait for the Supreme Court decision. David Thronson, law professor at Michigan State University College of Law. David, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up next, it is April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. So we will be talking about this very dark and somewhat uncomfortable topic next. That's right here on 1320 WILS.